The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome to God Calling once again. This is Paul Orlowski. Dan and Emily Whiting joining us today, a married couple, obviously, who have three children. And have struggled through some curveballs thrown at you, but have used that as a positive to spread the word of the Lord. And it's wonderful for you to take some time today to come out and speak to us. Emily, welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Dan, welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Emily, where are you from? Early Catholicism. How you came to the faith, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. I was raised locally in West Salem, Ohio, in the Cleveland Diocese. And my family, I was very blessed. They raised us Catholic, my parents, and definitely had a relationship with Jesus all through growing up. But it became very solidified through some big bumps in college, which we'll get into more as we share our dating story.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Yes. So I grew up the Far East Side in Burton, where I went to St. Helens growing up, and developed a very strong relationship with God throughout my teenage years, going to Life Teen at St. Helens.
It snows over there, doesn't it?
It does a little bit, yeah. And then I met Emily in college.
So. Okay. So, Emily, did you go to Catholic grade school? Or?
No. So I grew up going to Catholic church and doing PSR. Then when I went to college, I did the normal college thing, drifted pretty far probably from the church, I would say. And then Daniel and I started dating. I was a freshman, and you were a super senior. But we were friends for a couple of years before we started dating. Then when I was a junior, we started dating, and I really didn't invite my faith into that relationship. And had always, had that faith, had a relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus. But when we started dating, I kind of, for some reason, and it's now that I know what I know, it's so backwards, but I thought, faith lives on Sundays, and my relationships are a totally separate thing, which is crazy to even put that to words now. And so as we started dating, I kind of set our faith on a shelf. And even though we both were Catholic, found ourselves not really sharing our faith together. And I found myself feeling very drifted from Christ. At the time, I didn't know how to put words to it, but I didn't know how to repair my relationship with Christ and with Dan at the same time. So I did, of course, a very mature thing. I say this sarcastically. And I broke up with Dan.
Okay.
And so I went to confession, and it was really, that's a pretty crazy, incredible thing to say, because at the time, I had never been to confession by choice. It had always been.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you
yes,
know.
That's how I know.
It had always been because I was supposed to for sacrament. And so this time around, I had really hit rock bottom, because I knew a relationship with Christ. And then I knew when I had missed it. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating. And so I went to confession, and I met with this wonderful priest who just exuded the Holy Spirit. You know the kind of people who are overflowing. And I shared with him my heart and soul, and he gave me the best penance ever. He said, go home, write a letter to God of all that you've told me. And I want you to wait 3 days and then write a letter back to God, or back to yourself from God, of what do you think he would say?
Wow.
It was the most profound experience and penance I've ever had. I still have the letters, and I use them in almost all of my talks. And I truly do believe the Holy Spirit spoke through me as I was writing that letter, because it's way beyond any wisdom a 20-year-old would have had.
God-inspired.
Yes, and graciousness. Oh, my goodness. But one thing that he said in there, after, of course, saying you are forgiven and I love you and all those things, he also said, you have given yourself to a man who has not died for you as I have. And, you know, he was, of course, referencing to our dating relationship. And it was such a profound truth that we have been slowly unraveling and learning more and more about in our marriage, that we are invited in our marriage to die to each other, right? And in my 20-year-old brain, I read that and was like, no man's going to die for me. But Daniel has proven that to be untrue as he dies to himself every day for us. So it's been a beautiful faith journey.
So, Dan, this wonderful woman who you kind of like comes over and kicks you to the curb. But that's not a nice thing. I mean, it doesn't feel nice, I guess, is what to say. But we hear the story often about it, at college, kids and then coming back later on. But tell me about your experience, Dan.
Yeah, I certainly recall that time being kind of lost. Yeah, I definitely didn't want to break up. So I was definitely pretty lost and spent the next couple of years really trying to find probably more my adult self. I knew we had something special, but there was something missing. And I had other relationships in the meantime after dating Emily where they were fun. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun, did a lot of fun things, but felt like it was just a good friend, maybe.
Yeah.
Something was missing.
How'd you guys get back together?
Do you want to answer that?
Sure. So I got one of those Holy Spirit taps. You know, where you just know God's asking you to do something, inviting you to do something. And I just, 2 years after we broke up, I had this Holy Spirit ask me, you need to call Daniel and tell him you're sorry for how you broke things off. And at the time, I, you know, had spent the last 2 years since I broke up with Dan really pouring myself into learning more about our faith because I had had this profound encounter mm-hmm. in confession. And I wanted to know, who is this real and loving and true God? And so I had been walking with God for these last 2 years and felt at the time very ready to take on that challenge. So I called Dan. We had not talked for 2 years, left him a voicemail. And he called me back and I told him, you know, fully recognizing that in no way would I expect him to forgive me. But I had to, you know, voice mm-hmm. that I was sorry for how I had broken things off. And long story short, we ended up getting together and getting to know each other again and started dating, and then we got married. But I do remember the second time we went on our second date.
Take two.
Yeah. We were sitting at the Thirsty Dog Brewery in Akron, and I remember having another one of those moments of the Holy Spirit being like, okay, you need to tell him this. And so I mustered the courage and told him, you know, I've come to the realization over the last couple of years that I did not let God in on our relationship the first time. Not only that, but I didn't let him be a part of our relationship and be the middle and the first in our relationship. And I started putting Dan on this pedestal, expecting him to be my God. Mm-hmm. And of course, he failed at that because he's human. And I failed at that for him because I'm human. And so I, you know, shared, I'm going to have to put God first, and I hope we can do it in our relationship too. And I remember thinking, like, no way, it's going to take a miracle that a man's going to stick around after I say that. And you not only stuck around, Dan, but have lived that out and have held me to that and making sure that we keep God center. So it's been incredible.
Yeah, I certainly recognized at that point, you know, that's what I wasn't finding in my other relationships. Mm-hmm.
Stay right where you are. I want to pick it up right there. This guy's got a good story to tell. I like this. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Paul Orlowski with you. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Emily and Dan Whiting joining us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Dan, we've got up to the point where you guys got back together, and it was right. The amount of time did you get engaged?
So we dated around 6 months, and I popped the question.
You kind of knew it was there, huh?
I was pretty confident that this is a genuine calling from God to
for both of you. Did it feel like you were dating a different person from 2 years earlier?
Certainly, and I recognize through our dating that I was developing into the person I think I'd ultimately wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't let myself be mature enough to be that person. Certainly, Emily had her part in fostering my growth as well into the man I was becoming.
And into the faith as well?
Correct. Oh, yeah. It was definitely rooted in faith, and that's why our relationship felt genuine and something that I think we both wanted to keep going forward with and keep mm-hmm. developing. So
you began a family. Now, is Charlotte your oldest?
She is.
With every blessing, I guess, comes a hurdle, something to overcome. Tell me about her birth.
Yeah, so Charlotte is our oldest. She just turned 4, which is nothing short of a miracle because, I mean, every life is a miracle, right? But She and in her 20-week, our 20-week ultrasound, halfway through our pregnancy, we were told that she had anomalies from head to toe and had developed with her brain, lip, heart, kidneys, liver were all affected. And so whether she would live or not was very much in question. And if she did live, what would her quality of life look like? How much, you know, intervention would it require to keep her alive? And so long story short, she ended up having 11 surgeries by the time she was 2.5. She has probably at least 6 more to go, but she is a walking, talking miracle, running around with her brother and sister and doing incredible, which is just amazing.
In a situation like that, do people put abortion on the table?
Yes, we were not encouraged, but offered abortion as a medical solution. And quite frankly, it was very shocking to me because, you know, you come in with this baby, you're pregnant, you have no idea there's anything wrong. You're so excited to learn if you're having a boy or a girl. And then you learn this devastating news. And then you're, you know, having this crazy discussion you never expected about, are you going to keep the pregnancy? And thank God we both had that foundation of our Catholic faith. And
this
so
is in one meeting, one day.
Over the course of 2 days.
Okay. Yeah. That's still a lot
to handle.
Wow.
Yeah. And thank God, you know, it was never a question of whether we were going to keep the baby or not, because we knew that, you know, we're not going to kill our own child. That's for sure. But it honestly made us so protective over her and just really on fire to help her have every chance of life. And when the doctors knew that, they rolled up their sleeves and gave us all the help possible to help her live. And I think God worked through them to help her be here as she is today.
Dan, lots of challenges, but it sounds like through Emily's writings and from what I've read about the two of you that it drew you far closer together.
Yeah, I'd certainly say so. I mean, we were warned early on that these type of things test a lot of marriages, and I think we'd seen it throughout marriages we've seen around us that, you know, these crisis moments can make or break a marriage. And I think the way we developed our relationship, although very imperfect, by putting God first and then putting each other after that, it was good practice for what was ahead of us in this moment of crisis. Yeah, certainly. We definitely feel like we rolled up our sleeves and got to work with the challenges ahead of us, the challenges that Charlotte faced, and us navigating those decisions as well.
So. Later on, we'll talk about Charlotte's Hope, a cause that you founded. But now you want to have another child. Does that raise what if? I guess I'll just leave it there. What if? How did you deal with that?
Yes, lots of what ifs. So what Charlotte has is no one knows. There is no overarching syndrome that explains her anomalies. It's, you know, just as far as they can tell, kind of a random chance of genetics. Could it be replicated? Absolutely. Will it be? No one knows. So, you know, the likelihood of it happening again is probably slim, but it could be up to 20%. And so,
oh boy.
But you know, we are maybe a little crazy, but this whole journey has just shown, I mean, it's set our, I'll speak for myself. I'll let you speak for yourself, but it set my heart on fire for life and new life. It's so beautiful. And I remember just after having Charlotte, we didn't know if she was going to live or not. She wasn't even dried off yet. And I said, let's have another one. And Daniel was like, let's try this one off. So it's been fun. We have, you know, gone on to have 2 more children, and we have one in heaven as well that we miscarried, and just feel so abundantly blessed by all 4 of them. And gosh, now looking at Charlotte, it's wild to think that we could not have her. It's just wild to think that could have been a choice we would have made, which thank God it never was an option on the table in our minds and in our hearts. But it's just brings us to tears often when we think about that.
Dan, tell me how much of a blessing is she to her 2 younger siblings?
Well, she adores them. She definitely is the second mother behind Emily to them. I think having Charlotte and going through what we went through with getting her to where she is now just definitely brought out how precious life is and how maybe we talk about it often, or maybe not so often, how much we may have taken our children more for granted. If we didn't go through what we went through with Charlotte, we wouldn't realize what a gift they are. If we didn't go through what we went through with Charlotte, certainly we wouldn't wish that upon ourselves or wish it upon anybody else. Mm-hmm. But looking back and looking at the blessing of Charlotte, her challenges, you know, really looking at the perspective of what a blessing we have to be front row seats to you know, these miracles we think that God provided for Charlotte.
You know, sometimes you hear folks talk at people in platitudes. Oh, you'll benefit from your sufferings. Well, it's nice for somebody to say, but yeah. when you're the one suffering. Stay there. We'll be right back, everybody. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Emily and Dan Whiting joining us when we come back. Dan and Emily Whiting joining us. I'm Paul Orlowski here on God Calling. Thanks for joining us once again. We hope we will every week. Your oldest, Charlotte, born with many challenges and still some challenges to overcome. Charlotte's Hope is a foundation that you do some speaking through. And tell me about it, Emily.
Yeah, we are starting the Charlotte's Hope Foundation. HOPE stands for Holistic Parent Empowerment, and it's for helping parents raise their medically complex children. And myself, Dan, and our partners, Ashlyn and Andy, who also have a child with medical complexities, we are really excited to launch this program or this foundation with the mission of supporting, encouraging, and educating parents and caregivers. Our goal is to empower them so that they can be the best advocate for their kids who have medical complexities. We're launching a podcast. I'm in the middle of writing a book telling Charlotte's story of hope and of God's miraculous healing. And really our goal through all of these things is to walk hand in hand with parents as they receive the diagnosis, or maybe they've been dealing with diagnoses for a long time, and arming them with very practical things like, how do you navigate insurance? How do you get a second opinion? How do you talk to your other children about this child who has medical complexities? On and on and on. So many practical things. And then also very practical things in terms of faith, because these kinds of experiences will rock your faith to the core. And like Daniel said earlier, it's a make or break moment, right? It's one of those opportunities where God can step in and be so very loving and helpful and meet you in your need if you let him. So we hope to be able to walk with people in their journey and help them from a very practical standpoint and from a spiritual and emotional standpoint.
Sounds like maybe my initial reaction might be that I felt like God was stepping on me, not stepping in. And you got to pray through that, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another area that I know you've been somewhat active in is this theology of the body.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, we have kind of lived theology of the body through a lot of mistakes and heartache in our relationship and in our dating and our marriage and coming to the truths of the Catholic Church through a lot of just prayer and getting to know the Lord and his heart. And I started speaking and writing to help share the beauty of the church's teachings on relationships and dating, and how my initial thought that, you know, relationships is separate from God is so completely wrong. And so I started out speaking on that. And then a lot of my audience members came up to me and said, hey, have you heard of theology of the body? And I said, no.
Okay.
And what's been amazing is I was able to connect with Theology of the Body Institute and have started taking courses and working towards certification now. And I've just been set on fire to learn more about it, because basically it's putting all the terms to what we've learned front row. So I like to say that I might not be the theologian to teach theology of the body, but I am the witness, or a witness, to be able to witness to the power of it. And so all my talks, whether it's, you know, about Charlotte's Hope Foundation or about ministry in general, are rooted in the truths of theology of the body and the value and the dignity of each human person, male and female.
Dan, I saw, I think it was online, that you've done some Canaanites.
Yes, we spoke at Canaanite this past year.
I think I might be scratching my head and going, you guys got no idea what you're in for. I'm talking from 44 years ago when I got married, you know?
Yeah.
Wide-eyed, bushy-tailed, the whole thing.
Right, starting out in marriage with no idea. Yeah. So we were talking about how we, like the secret to a dynamic relationship being rooted in faith. So go right ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, so back to our relationships failing, what we learned from that failure, and then moving forward in our second time around dating and applying those mistakes we made, making sure we weren't going to repeat them, and also really diving into what's really going to make a vibrant marriage, what's really going to make a marriage come alive, what's going to make a marriage that survives the crises, but also is on fire for each other. And ultimately, you get to that point by putting God first, turning up to God, and then turning to each other.
In large measure, many of these people you're talking to are going to have families. my son's 43. I'd be scared today in the way they're bombarded with advertising and sex stuff and all kinds of stuff. Do you touch on those, or is it they better just get to know themselves first?
Oh, no. So one of my talks is actually about raising daughters of dignity and sons of honor. And it is basically, how do we take these beautiful teachings of our faith and incorporate them into our day-to-day family life so that, yes, we're getting bombarded by all these cultural messages, but how do we help within our own home cultivate this recognition of your own self-worth, your value, and the dignity that you inherently have as a son and daughter of Jesus? And so some very practical tips of living that out. And even talking, you know, practical tips, it's very easy to say God should come first in our life and in our marriage. When you really stop and think about that, how do you live that out? And so that's what we really focused on in the Canaanites, was some concrete ideas. And of course, our ideas are just a handful of thousands that I'm sure many others could teach us too, but some things that have worked for us were fun to share that night.
I read about what a lot of people don't believe that Christ is present in the Eucharist. 70% of Catholics, as I read someplace the other day. Do you have people come to Canaanite that are living together? Or would they admit it or not?
I think most people who come to Canaanite are already married. Actually, everybody, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. But
yeah,
so it's not
pre-Cana. Right, it's not pre-Cana.
Okay, I got it.
It's a beautiful event that Bill and Tanis Merrimy have put on through Marriages of Grace.
They've been on the show, yeah.
Yes, and they are really on fire to help build marriages within the Catholic Church. And so these events, Canaanites, are meant for those who are married to go even deeper in their relationship with Christ and with each other. And so that's really fun because your audience is very specific, and you know, you can really get nitty-gritty on how to live this sacrament of marriage out.
Yeah. And how would they contact the foundation if they'd like to help?
Yes, so this is up and coming in 2022. So in the meantime, you can go to emilykwhiting.com and you can follow along there. We'll post all things as they come up. We're actually meeting this weekend with myself and our partner to start really hammering through all the nitty-gritties to get this up and running. And so in the meantime, emilykwhiting.com will provide all the details, and we would love to have you follow along and get involved as we launch this.
It's just the initial K.
Right.
The letter K.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Emily, Dan, thanks very much for joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll be back next week when we have another edition right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.